What a good God that we serve. My, my, my. God is a good God. Our message this morning is spiritual protection for satanic attacks. Spiritual protection for satanic attacks. Have you ever heard folks say, old folks say, Satan is busy? Have you ever heard that? Well, that is correct. That is very correct. So don't get on him. He is busy. And he is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Therefore, the Holy Spirit warns us, instructs us how to protect ourselves from his onslaught. And many a times when you look at scripture and read the word of God, sometimes you come with your own perception of when you read it, what it's supposed to be and what I'm supposed to get out of it. Not realizing that what you are reading is spiritual. And what you are reading, you can exhaust it. You can stay all year on one verse. And then the next year, then the next year. But God left us this love letter that we could rely on having a word from God. You see, Peter says that this is not of man, but holy men wrote this as they were led by the Holy Ghost. Letting you know that this is the word of God because it was the Holy Spirit who superintended the writing of this word. Now, one of the things for the believers, you got to keep your believing hat on as you read scriptures, as you believe the things of God, because there's a lot of things you cannot see through the natural eye. You see, just like God says that the unsaved man can't understand the word of God because it is spiritually discerned. I mean, if you're going to understand, really understand the word of God, you who are believers can understand the word of God because you have God living in you. You have the Holy Spirit who is God. And not only is the Holy Spirit who's living in you God, but the Holy Spirit who's living in you is also the author of the book. So you have the author of the book living in you. So when you yield the right of way to the author, or be filled with the Spirit. Are you with me? What that does, when I'm filled with the Spirit and I'm hearing the Spirit's writing, I can be receptive, Ronnie. You follow what I'm saying? See, because if you sit here now and other things got you occupied right now, you're starting off on the wrong foot, believer. I don't care what it is, you just locked into it. Unlock yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to lead you, to control you. As the Holy Spirit's word come your way, he would interpret for you. He'll let you know what he's talking about. All of us got a part. Now, I have a part. You know, I told y'all that the other day, and somebody was telling me as I was talking, I'm already reading that. Somebody was reading it. But that was good, because that's what I want you to do. You need to know who this crazy preacher is. Because if he's not going to spiritually benefit you, he is no good to you. And if God didn't set it up, it ain't going to be good to you no way. All right? But you know, it's amazing how familiar sometimes the scriptures is to you. And then when you go back, and God share another little nugget with you. Have you ever done that before? Amen, amen, amen. All right. And I'll be coming from 1 Peter 5, familiar passage. Through 11. You know, I said, Lord, this is familiar. I said, but man, you are putting the spotlight on Satan. You're really putting a big spotlight on him from the Word of God. And I'm glad we're not putting the spotlight on him. God is putting the spotlight on him. And so that let me know that God understands his activities. See, you don't, it let me know, Brother Dave, I don't have to say, God, do you know what Satan is doing to me? God says, if you read the book, I'm going to tell you what he's doing because I know what he's doing. So that little thought can change my mind. Okay, Rick, you don't have to ask God, do he know? He's the one who told you about his activities. And he's the one who told you how harmful his activities would be concerning you. But not only did he tell you about his activities, but he tell you how you can protect yourself. And many times we understand, we see this, but we won't apply the Word of God. See, we got to move from taking the Word of God as just some little toy or just something, you know, man, I'm telling you, our lives hang in the balance. Our spiritual walk hang in the balance. Whether we're going to lose our faith, not have a firm grip on our faith, hangs in the balance. Whether we're going to please God hangs in the balance. And here is something else, too, about the believer. Believers, a lot of other things that's going on down here with us is all about when the revelation of Christ comes. It ain't all about this. We're not just an earthly folk here. All right, though we are here for a season, but we are not of the world anymore. We are left in the world to try to win those for Christ, but we are no longer of it. But because our fleshly nature is not eradicated, it gravitates to this world. Sometimes it makes us think we are a part of this. But watch this. You ain't all just flesh anymore. See, I was all flesh over about 38 years. But when I met Jesus that day, I changed citizenship. And when I heard him pray for me in John 17, he'll tell you who you are. And you ain't of this world. But Father, I don't want you to isolate them, but I do need you to insulate them. And I need to know, no matter what come my way, I'm insulated. And there's some things going to happen, but it's some knowledge that if we learn from the Word of God, our true identity, it will help us with a lot of our problems. See, a lot of our problems, Sister Sheila, is not that the particular problem is happening to me. A lot of times, it's what your problem is, you don't fully know who you are. So a lot of times, when you don't know who you are, you take some other weapons that don't belong to you to try to fight your problem. You try to think a certain way as the world tells you to think to solve your problem. But being that you are not your own anymore, follow the instructions in the book. It's our love letter, it's our instruction, because you ain't all about this. Don't you know, as we are being saved, in Ephesians, when you see the initial grace to save us, don't you know there's a culmination? The glorification. And it is written all in the New Testament to show us Some things that deals with you or concern you and me as believers is dealing with the culmination end. Oh my God. Okay, let's look at it a little bit. Okay. Yeah, if you go back and read 5:1-4, you'll get an idea of who the pastor is. You with me? Being that we're here, but that's not what I want to deal with, but you heard me say that sometimes. That's just a place. There's many other places that you'll see how God see him. Anyway, let's put it that way, okay? But I want to jump down to verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Submit yourselves, likewise, to your elders, your pastors, your shepherds. Submit yourselves. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another. Be clothed with humility. Now, God, the Holy Spirit, saw it necessary to tell the flock to submit to the elders. He saw it. See, when you're coming from the Word of God, you dismiss people in a sense. And you look at the Word of God because there are, see, Sister Jackie, there's some knowledge that God has that we don't have. There is some knowledge about God's program and his salvation we really don't have. I don't care how smart we are, we're never going to be smarter than God. And we're never going to be smarter than the Word of God. So when God is telling us something, a lot of times he has a purpose sitting right over here for the reason for it. Now here's the thing. A lot of times what we do, when we are obedient to the Word of God, we receive the benefit. See, don't care how many folk in here want to say, I'm not going to do it. And I'll say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it for the pastor. I'm going to do it for God told me to do it. And if God told me to submit, there's a reason. And watch this. And when God tells us something, the reason always benefits us and glorify God. I got two things here when I disobey. Two things. I'm not benefiting myself with disobedience. And I'm not bringing glory to God if God said it. Huh? See, Joan, when God say, obey your husband, if that's what the word say, you do it. You get a benefit, and you glorify God. You see, also what it does, it prepares you to give an answer. And we are to be able to give an answer, right, Ronnie? It prepares you when somebody asks you, Ronan, why are you following that old crazy Rick? Why in the world, oh, man, I wouldn't deal with no pastor. And you can smile now and say, there's a connection that God set up. All right? And I love the Lord. It's about me loving the Lord. And then there's the instruction. But also, if we put ourselves in the right position, when we begin to pray, and ask God for something, we're already in the position to receive. See, you and I want to be blessed, and we want to be a blessing. Let me move on. He says now, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, this is something that can scare us to death living in this world, because a lot of times when people say, be clothed in humility, somebody going to use me. Somebody going to think I'm weak or whatever the situation. See, it's amazing. Okay. That the Word of God would tell the believer what to do. All right? And how many times when you heard certain things, your mind go to the worldly side of it? You say, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. I'll let somebody know who I am. I ain't worrying. No. I'm not even going to have it be known I'm walking in humility. No, sir. Cause you see, what God don't realize, you can't do that around here in this world. You can't do that. See, because if you do that, folks are going to take advantage of you. Ain't that right? So God don't know what he's talking about, Dave. You don't know what he's talking about? Wait a minute. When you start saying God don't know what he's talking about, also go over there where you got saved and say God didn't know what he was talking about when he said his blood would save me. Huh? That without the shedding of blood, you follow what I'm saying? So we can nitpick as much as we want to and to salve our own conscience when our flesh is gravitating to disobedience. We can do that, but realize what you're doing if God said it. When we are not our own anymore, we've been purchased with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. But here's the thing. I know sometimes it's hard for us to understand you are not the same anymore. And a lot of times, there were some things that may have hit you prior to salvation. Walk with me now. And you act a certain way. There ain't no whole lot of power with you prior to salvation. But once you get saved, you ain't the same person. You ain't by yourself. You got someone to fight your battle. You see, God realized how we'll be beat up, how we got to go through the fire, how we'll be tested. All these things is going to happen. Because you're living in a world that the enemy, the God of this world, is on attack. So God said, I got to warn you. See, here it is now. If I start picking and choosing what the word of God say to me, because I don't want to obey certain things, I like this, I don't like that, I'm going to find myself in trouble. You're going to find yourself in trouble. And the enemy is going to take that very thing of disobedience, and he may work it against you. Am I making any sense? Okay. And he comes right that down. He says, okay, his son has to, okay, close in humility. He says, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, God said, it's an incentive for me to humble myself because I'll receive more grace. Huh? I'll receive more grace. So, I got to watch what I neglect to do because a lot of times it's packaged with a blessing for me. The very thing I don't want to pick up, I don't want to do, but the blessing is in that. Sometimes I walk away from my blessing. Now, if I wanted this water to drink, I need to pick this bottle up. I needed that. And drank my water. When God let me know where the blessings are, that's where I should be gravitating. See, a lot of times God will tell us where the blessing is, but I don't like how the blessing is packaged. I don't like what's surrounding the blessing. A lot of times there's something I don't like that comes with the blessing. Say, for instance, now, my blessing, because I'm thirsty, is housed in this bottle. But I like to drink out of glass, a crystal glass. It has to be like that. But I'm still in need of what's in that bottle. But I'm turned off because my blessing is packaged in something I don't like. Many of us, the blessing has been there for you. But you don't like how it's housed. And you still asking God, bless me, Lord. God said, my. You see, sometimes God wants you to show the world and everybody else. See, I know what I'm talking about. I have been confronted with things to do for God, and it's like, wait a minute, God, how? Say, Rick, you ain't getting no business asking how. You need to ask who told you. You need to ask the who. Now, if you don't have the who backing you up, then you can ask that other question. But when I asked it, the who had already told me what to do. I still asked it. And he went right back to the who. I'm not going to tell you anything but what to do. You see, because let me tell you something. I realize you ain't really trusting me when you won't walk out. Peter, you want to come to me? You got to please me. You got to do it my way. Get out of the boat. Huh? With no life preserver. Get out of the boat. With none of the men holding you. And walk toward me. Yeah, I want the blessing to go to my Savior. But the how, I don't want it. I don't want a chance of myself drowning. See, all the obstacle will make you forget who told you to do it in the first place. See, this thing, that when God tells us to do something, and you see the obstacles, you see the thing that hinder you. See, we got to learn. It's a learning curve, though. We got to learn. I have to learn. Rick's got to learn. Let me use myself. Y'all look, they look cute. I got to learn. If God told me, there is no entity can stay his hand. There's no intelligence is more smarter than God to make it work another way. You see, a lot of times God want to just show up and show off. He want the world to know who he is. He want the glory. You see, God major in that which is thought to be impossible. You just keep on praying, keep on trusting him. But don't get confused when your blessing is wrapped up in something you don't want to touch. It's like hiding a present or something, but you put it in something, now they'll never touch that. Well, I've been trying to get him to read the Bible. He ain't going to read it, so I'm going to put a $1,000 check for him right in the Bible. Or I'm going to have a piece of money for him. I'm going to put it right in the back of under the chair, maybe $100 bill, but he ain't coming to church, so I put it under there. No, I'm illustrating. I want the blessing, but a lot of time I don't have to get my blessing. Are you right with me? Is it all right? Man, let Pastor get on down to the message. Now, my first point that God want us to see is we must trust God's mighty hand. We got to trust him. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. A lot of times, we don't receive the protection that we need because we won't humble ourselves under God. See, a lot of things that you do according to the word of God, it should be that you've already submitted yourself under the mighty hand of God. There are some reasons why some things you're not going to do, will not do, because you have not as of yet humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. God is saying, when you are under my control, there is no entity that can stop me or stop you when you're doing it God's way. Let the Holy Spirit teach us this morning. He said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Wait a minute. If I want to be exalted, you got to see this now. The prerequisite of being exalted is placing yourself under God. But you and I want to be exalted, but we don't want to place ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, submit, humble, place yourself under, and in due time I exalt. No, Lord, I want to get over here. I want to be exalted. But it's, no. It starts right here. It starts right here. Man, I've seen times, man, when you would do it God's way, and people say, man, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Why am I crazy? I read it. Rick, I read the Bible, too. I read it upside down. I know the word of God, and I'm a man of God, too. But that don't make sense. To who? God give us individual assignments. And I'm not trying to get into yours, but I know when he speaks to me. And Lottie, Dottie, or nobody's going to stop me from doing what God would have me do when God has spoken to me, and I know it. Because I'm called to submit myself to the mighty hand of God. Then he would exalt. Anybody want God to exalt them in whatever the situation that you're going through, but you ain't willing to submit? Some of us walk in the flesh more than we ought to walk in the flesh. We know it. We compromise with ourselves. I ain't talking about nobody else. We just continue to do it, and we say, Lord, keep blessing us. And God said, but I got to preach up here, preaching, submit. Humble. They ain't his words. He reading them. If I could take your Bible and preach this. Or take your phone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Humble ourselves to bring ourselves under the authority of God. We must remember our limitations as human beings. Some of us, God have blessed in so many ways. So many ways you've been blessed, smart, and maybe finances or wisdom, whatever. He just bless you. And you begin with a lot of worldly things he may permit you to have. You refuse to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he has blessed you so much anyhow that you have forgotten that you're just a human being compared to God. See, time is running out. Christ is so soon to come back. And we got to occupy until he comes. Occupy just don't mean set on the premises. Occupy means service. But we have to get a power connection with the Lord. Here's a way we got to get it. Because it's getting hard now. Because he's so soon to come back. Even when you're hurting or going through something, you got to connect. Eve, I don't care, name it. You as a believer have no right, because you're going through pain, to walk away from God. You as a true believer, because you're going through financial situations, you have no reason to walk away from God. Because it is God who owns it all. It is God who allow you to turn your back on him and keep you living. It is God. Some of us are still plucking out his beard. Some of us are still spitting in his face. But God is letting us know we are being attacked. And he says, I want to protect you. Humbling myself under the mighty hand of God is not hurting me, it's protecting me. God says, and he's talking to believers. God said, there is danger, believer. Physical danger. Spiritual danger. Looking around. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and I'll protect you. And you know, you and I may be still going through pain even after we humble ourselves under God. But it's just for a time, y'all. Because the exaltation is on its way. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you where. But he made a promise. I can tell you that. And your God and my God is a promise keeper. He made a promise. See, you can tell him, God, you made a promise. So God, I'm not going to go nowhere. Because I've humbled myself under your mighty hand. But I'm still going through something. Huh? And I know you promise you're going to exalt me. But then the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Wait on him. See, what helped you to wait if your understanding is clear? Learn the promises. And so now I'm not waiting without a promise. I'm waiting to say, the reason I'm waiting now, you promised me. I don't know when, you know when, but you promised me. But realize your salvation now, there's a culmination that's going, it's coming. It's coming when you get glorified. So part of the things that God will tell you to do, it may just be about that end part of it. So when he looked at you, when he glorified you and said, boy, you were just like Christ. I watch you. All right. See, our glorification is one of the biggest perks. Because we are being shaped and molded and pruned to be like Christ. I see how hard it is to pry us away from the world. I see it. I know it. I face it. I feel it. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be rough trying to serve God when you're walking through storms of life, tsunamis of life, seeing like trouble on all sides. You can name your situation. You put your own name to it. But we know they are there. But they ain't just there for you. They're there for me and everybody else. But I got a promise. And the one who promised me, Alvin, can't lie. Can't lie. No, sir. Cannot lie. So a lot of times, Ronnie, you just got to know you got a promise. You got a promise that God got a purpose, a plan for your life. Nothing will stop God's purpose and his plan for his people. Nothing. Job, you can't stop it. Rick, you can't stop it. Realize I got a purpose. And you are called according to my purpose. All these things going to work together for the good. They may not be good, but they're working together for the good. Now, that is over my pay grade. That's God's pay grade. He has a plan. He's baking the cake of our lives. Sin, hurt, sorrow, pain, divorce, death. Lord, how's all of this working together for my good and your glory? Above your pay grade, Rick's above your pay grade. This is one of the things you just got to trust me. You got to believe me. And I want, do you believe me? Because you heard heels. When we start hurting, we want to run from God. We want to get out of Dodge. I ain't going to church no more. It ain't doing me no good. I get sick, don't get well. I ain't going to church no more. Them people don't know what they're talking about. Why am I serve God and he ain't doing nothing for me? Oh, you better learn that you are called according to his purpose, baby. You and I better learn. You better learn the word of God. You better want to hear it, because some things we're accusing God of, you got no business. We just ignorant to the fact of what God has promised. Soon as we educate ourselves to the truths of God, where they're relevant, they're coming off these pages, we can use what he's saying, our attitude will change, because say, God didn't ever tell me that. God tell me some of the things that's going to happen to me, he's going to work it out for his good. Come see, watch this. Why I say his good? I know for our good and his glory, his good, because he got perfect. If you got a cake maker, a master chef, know how to make a cake, and you're going to tell him what kind of ingredients to put in that cake. And when you finish with that, now I tell you what, you take this bowl, mister, and you make your mess over here. But my prize winning cakes, and you haven't proved yourself that you understand all that need to go in this to make it my prize winning cake. You got to tell God, Lord, I want to read it, I want to know it. But help me to realize something is above my pay grade with you. And I got to accept that. I got to accept he's God all by himself. I got to accept Rick's don't make him God. He was God before Rick's. He'll be God after Rick's. And he was a God that brought Rick's into existence. But I got to trust him. Let me move on. Okay, God, what are you telling us now? And then he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If I don't want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, I'm not going to place myself in a position to cast my cares. See, when I humble myself in the mighty hand of God, I am positioned right for my other blessings, no matter where they come down the line, Brother Ronnie. See, because not being under God's mighty hand, I move myself from under protection. And he's letting us know there's a not a bulldog, Rockwell, what's that other little bulldog? Pit bull. Not that they are out there roaming, but he said there's a lion. Now what you got to realize, Sister Tracy, the recipients of this letter understood well what God was saying. Because the emperor would feed them in the arena with the lions devouring them. So he was using metaphorically the lion that they would understand, the recipients, the original recipients. They understood it clear how they would choke, bite the bone through, put them in that arena, you know, with the gladiators and stuff, and the big lion, they let them starve, and they just We see it, if you look at the lion picture, I like to look at lion pride and see how they do all those things. But I'm trying to tell you, God is speaking to us, y'all. See, this shouldn't be fast in a hurry because this is very important. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to get us suited up. Now watch this. There it is again. Y'all don't believe it or not, I tell you. It started wearing me out just studying this. Familiar passage. But I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing when you're in that position and you need that protection. You know you're being attacked. Man, I'm being attacked. See, let me tell you something. The best time the lion to attack is when he separates you from the pack. Them zebras and all those things and those impalas and all. You got to separate, especially from the buffaloes. Because if they stay together, they can hurt him. So separate or get the weak one that's left behind. But I want all of us to be spiritually strong, that nobody get left behind. If you get left behind, you want to. You sit here and want to because you won't give me your attention. When you just read, he said, if you go back up and read right to verse, start at verse 1 or 5 and read down, you'll see I do have something to do with your business. Your spiritual business. Your spiritual business, yes, I do, because God say, I do. Am I right about it? So if you see me as the guy, now he got a right to preach to me. I got to read it. Let me read it. Let me see what God say. God say, ain't got no problem. God say it. You follow what I'm saying? Now, why am I saying this? No, not to lift myself up, but that I can get your undivided attention, because you say he's supposed to be there. That's a qualification. He's supposed to be there. Let me tell you something. No, let me leave that alone. Yeah. See, that's why I said, Lord, help me. I've been lost my thought, man, with y'all. I don't need to do that. But I understand the seriousness of it, like I say, in my own life. So when I preach it, when I study this and I preach it, I want to help. I don't want to do this in a form or fashion. That's why I try to preach the word of God and not cute stuff that make you walk the pew and all that, and God didn't necessarily say none of that. That's just a tickle of your emotion. And ain't nothing wrong with your emotion. I'm not putting that down. Because if you begin to love the word a lot and you heard things from the word of God, your emotions will still react. And I'm going to tell you something else. Also, you can take notes and help somebody else in your neighborhood. They may have a question about these things. And you say, no, that was the topic Sunday. Or somebody may come to you. Oh, you went to church today? Yes, I go to church every Sunday. What did the preacher say? Was it relevant for us today? Well, he ain't say nothing. Same old. And it amazed me that this is God's word. This is God's word. Okay. I got to go. Y'all ain't home anymore. I don't held you too long. Casting all your care. I know where I stopped at. 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Here's another thing, too. God don't want us to indicate that we really don't believe he care, because we won't cast. We won't throw. We won't hurl. We won't like spreading a blanket over Dunkin'. We won't do that. And we got to ask ourselves, if I won't do that, what's going on with me? Am I out of position? Now, keep in mind, the things, as we go on, the things that God is telling us to do, a lot of this stuff works with our minds. Our minds got to be. Our minds, most of the time, is so flooded with this world things. Can I tell the truth? Some right now, you may be pinned down right now with something going on in this world. It ain't about God. But you're pinned down with it. And I'm going to tell you about the enemy. Watch this now. Next point is we must trust God that God truly cares. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares. You know, a man can ask his wife, or a wife can ask her husband, do you care for me? Do you care for me? And they can say that 1,000 times. But it's the one that's asking that really don't believe that the individual will care. It don't matter how many times you say it. I really don't think you care for me. And the reason I continue to ask you, because I'm not convinced. Watch this. Just because you are my husband, that in itself don't convince me. Just because you are my wife, that in itself don't convince me. I want to know, do you really love me? I really need to know, do you love me? Because here's the thing. If I feel that you don't love me, then I'm going to pull back on my love. I'm going to pull back on some things that I would do where I would go overboard. I'm not going overboard because I feel that you don't love me. Some things I want to trust you with, I will not trust you with because I feel that you really don't love me. You see where I'm going? You see where I'm going? See, God wants to know that you really trust him so you can deposit with him. Because we really don't trust God, we're not going to cast all of our cares, all of our concerns with God. Man, let me tell you something. It's nothing like, even though say that was hard to do. Say it was real hard at first, but God's word just kept pounding your heart with the same thing. Then you make up your mind. I'm tired of hearing this anyway, but do you really care, Lord? Or you ask me three times like I asked Peter? And you make up your mind. With your care. Now I'm still connected because I'm connected to God. And I'm still waiting on him to do something. But he promised me that he cared for me. He showed me he cared for me. And by going to Calvary, and his display on Calvary, and John 3:16 to boot, it let me know, no matter how heavy that burden is, no matter how long I want to carry it, believing I'm God, I can trust him. But a lot of that means your mind got to be regulated right. Some of our minds are here right now. We're not picking this up because whatever that's got your mind won't let you go. If some folk mentally will get unshackled in this place, shoot, you talking about some shouting, talking about some singing that you never heard because they've been unshackled. He said, cast it. Lord, but you don't know I got to deal with this. Cast it. But Lord, you don't know. I believe you, God, and all that, but God said right now, what did you say? But something you can't do because you won't let me be the lover of your mind. You won't let me to be the mind regulator. You walk around like you crazy because you don't believe me, but you're calling it something else. See, when you talk to God, God's going to talk back to you straight up. And man, he make you hump. When you truly love God, he make you humble yourself. And then you say, well, Lord, wait a minute. I'm not talking about that. You don't carry me where I don't want to go. I want you to fix something. He said, I am. But that ain't what I want you to fix. He said, I'm fixing you. See, before I can fix what's in your hand, what's in your mind, I need to fix you. See, Rick, if I fix you, you're going to feel me working on your problem. But the first thing, I got to get you to trust me. I got to get you to release it. I got to get it that you move into an intimate state of prayer with me because you know I got it. Now, you can talk to me about what I'm doing. That's all right once I got it. You see, if a person needs surgery, we can talk about it, Brother Parker, talk about it, but you need to get your wife into surgery. You see all the signs. You can't just keep, we can't just, you got to get her in there. And now once she's in there, the best surgeon working on her, now we can talk about how things are going. You follow what I'm saying? We're not going to talk about, we see she need to go in. Get her in, brother. God said, cast it. You talk a good game, but you're holding it from me. We got some things we hold from God. We complain. And every year we go round in a circle. Because we never cast it. Now we hid it. We passed it up. We took a leave. But we didn't cast it. Wait a minute. It's not that we don't love God that we don't cast it. But is it that we don't trust him? Or is it that if we would tell the truth and we don't fool the pastor, is it that we believe he ain't really able? Because I thought I done gave him some things before he ain't do nothing. Ain't no need to give him nothing else about me. Same one giving you breath to say that. He the one give us a mind even though it's thinking wrong. He gave us a mind to think wrong or right. Y'all, I'm tough. Ooh, this is my message, okay? So everybody can relieve. This is Rick's message. It's about me. How God whooped me, and I got to cut some things loose, give it to God. Because sometimes if you don't let it go and give it to God, put it in the proper hands, you ain't going to make it. You be moving on the fumes. Your tank is empty. But I tell you what, though. But when you cast it, Ronnie, God fill your tank. Because there's space there to be filled. I'm not cluttered anymore. And see, here's the thing. You just giving it to God. You're giving it to God. Let it go. Take it off of you. You're not a beast of burden. He has promised you. He has promised me. Let me move on. And the next one. Now here it is too. Third one, Brother Steve. We must remain firm in the faith. Now this is very important, y'all. You and I not submitting to God, we're not going to be firm in the faith. Okay? Now keep in mind, he's talking to believers. These are saved folk. Yeah. These are unsaved folk. So I can be saved but not firm in my faith. God is saying you've been attacked. Getting off. Remember, Noah preached to all those people, didn't he? See, you can preach to folk for 120 years, but everybody ain't going to get on the ark. Huh? But a few going to say, yeah, to God now. Yeah, God, it's going to be hard. But I got my spiritual instructions from the man of God, from the word of God, my shepherd, who should say, feed the flock. Help the flock with my word, not your word. If you love me, feed the flock of God that I purchased with my blood, that the Holy Ghost who have made you overseer. Feed my flock, because a lot of them need to empty into my hands their cares. Give them up. You haven't seen yourself, the beauty of yourself, until it's gone. You just throw something over it and you pretend. We go through life saved, pretending. God said, let it go. Let it go, Riggs. Free up. But what's going to happen is in my hand. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? No matter what I do, it's going to be right. I do all things right. And where I'm going to is what he want to protect. This next, see. So I'm not making this stuff up. It's right here. He says, be sober. Be clear in your thinking. Some of us are drunk with our problem. Intoxicated with our problem. And your problems dictates your actions. And you're demonstrated the way you act. Now, we're family here. We love one another. That's how God hit me. He said, Rick, I don't really want to hear that. Are you going to hear it first? See, I want you to hear it first, Rick, because then you'll preach it. See, you'll get the gist of it because I'm going to hit you. You got to let some stuff go. You got to trust me. Don't worry about what I'm doing. That's trust that what I'm doing is better than anybody else can do, ever would do, or think to do. And by the way, nobody loves you like I do. I got that so love for you. For God so loved the world, he gave. I don't know how wide that so love is. I don't know how deep that is. I don't know how high it is. But I know my God. It's bigger than the world that he created and sustained. You talking about chaos? Jesus, let it go. Y'all saints ain't with me today. I'm preaching my message. That God hit me. I'll let y'all get a little bit of it. Be sober. See, if you don't let it go, you can't be clear thinking. Be alert, vigilant. Be alert, be aware. That mess crowds your mind so much you're not aware of other things that you are doing. You're not aware of other people you're affecting. You're not aware you're not even being a blessing to the Lord like you should. You don't mean no harm because you believe you love the Lord. But God said, my people got to be alert. They got to be clear thinking because the enemy will cloud your mind. Right about it. And right here, he says, watch this. Did he tell you the reason? Oh, I didn't, I'm saying it, but I can let the scripture say it. You see it. He said, if you decide not to do anything, let me tell you what happened. Because your adversary, the devil, the slanderer, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If I don't become spiritual sober-minded, spiritual alert, because I refuse to cast these things on God, but hold them and let them rend my mind, ruin my mind, and render me useless to God. See, God is warning us there's an enemy. And if you and I go to sleep, we're not alert. See, even be alert in church. Say, I'm going to spend this time hearing this message. Then I'll wait some time out there. But when I come in here, I need to hear from God. And if the man going to preach the Bible to me, I'm going to take the time to get that. Now, I may act a fool when I leave out here, but in here, I'm going to get it. He says, walks about seeking what we about. So, Lord, what you are saying, if I allow the Spirit of God to fill me, I'm going to think spiritually. I'm going to talk spiritually. I'm going to walk spiritually. And I'm going to free myself. Man, it's going to be a shame how many Christians they're going to say, but their life been under burden for so long. And they really can't enjoy their Christianity to the fullest. Watch this now. Not that they don't want to. No, I'm not saying that. They want to. They have never experienced the freedom to do it. Because those things that haunts me, they won't move out. And even that you're preaching the power of the Word of God, I'm struggling right here in this seat. But God, you were saying that I got an enemy. If you say I got one, I got one. And he said he wanted to do what? He wanted to devour you. In the next one, be sober, not to allow ourselves to become drunk with worry, sickness. And we must see God that he's in control. Be watchful, be alert. The last one, we must remember God is only refining us. Whoa, look at this, y'all. See, even though we went through that and see it, but you need to know what's God up to with you. He's refining us. And see, when you're refining something, all of the obstacles that would hinder refining, you remove. Huh? So God is working with us, on us, and in us. First Peter, do you have 1 Peter 1:7, Steve? Okay. That the go back to, you got 1:7. Go back to the next verse. Can you get that? 1:6. Oh, okay. That's okay. If you can't get it now, right here. That the genuineness of your faith, remember, I'm talking about refining. Okay. Genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it is tested by fire. Okay? May be found to the praise, to the honor, and to the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I was saying, that our full salvation is dealing with the glorification part. That revelation of Jesus Christ. So, but a lot of things that's happening to us now, a lot of the tests that we go through now, God wants us to pass them because it's refining us. Do you get it? See, we're going to get better in glorification. But there's some tests that God wants us to pass here and there. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Amen. Hey, Rick, I know you've been grieved by various trials. I know sometimes you feel like they're taking you out. But I want to take this word from the Bible, from the Holy Spirit, to help you out, son. I want to let you know some of the things that's happening to you and with you or all around you. These things are proving where you are, and they are refining you. So if you find out that you're reacting to these things the wrong way, because you won't cast them on me, well then, cast them on me. Because we're in a process with our salvation. Don't ever forget it. You ain't done right now, so don't step. I don't know why my mouth is so dry. But man, this is good. This is therapy. For me. Let me tell you something. If you think you're going to be a Christian and name the name of Christ, I'm saved because I go to church, and then you don't hear nothing about these trials and things, knowing how they're working in your life for God's glory and your good. And not realizing right now, mentally, you got a place to cast your troubles and your trial. You got a person who's waiting. All right? And he said it's going to be something about when you turn it over to me. Now, that don't mean it ain't going to pain. It don't even mean it's not going to get worse. But I got a promise. You told me to give them to you. I gave them to you. And now you're saying that fiery furnace and refining me, God, what you are doing is for my good. He won't, remember Job? This is beautiful. You remember the conversation that God had with Job? I mean, and with Satan. Now, God wants Satan to know all of his children, not just Job, can trust him. God displayed Job's story that we can learn from what was written. And he's saying now, cast him on me. Job 1:20 and 22 says, all that Job went through, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. See, sometimes when we ain't sober minded, when we're not alert, we begin to blame God. Oh, it's nothing like somebody. Sometimes you hear old testimonies years ago, and I didn't fully understand them years ago with the old saints. They would say, you know, something had me bound for years, and I was even in church. That's when they got delivered, they began to tell their testimony. And they said, I would, but you know, all I tried and all I thought, I had to come right back to the Word of God. And when I came back and I let God, it was freedom that I never had. And all that time, young man, young lady, I was saved, loved the Lord. Y'all call me sister, mom this. But I was holding on something that I didn't think the mighty hand of God had enough authority. Or I didn't think he would do this for me, so I held it. And really, I was like cutting my life short because I got ulcers and all other kind of things as a child of God. And only me and God knew. And folk had me praying for them because they saw me as mother this and mother that. I remember mother of our church, Sister Carr, years ago, she found old Rick. When she saw that I was going to start a church, she told me, "Rick, don't start no church." Now you see, she was the mother. Sister Carr was rough. Start a mission. You need to start a mission. Now I got to be respectful to all my folk. I said, "No, God did not lead me to start a mission, Sister Carr." I said, "But thank you anyway." I said, "But you're a mission lady, and I see you're going around. But that's not, Sister Carr, that's not what he's leading me to do." Now watch this. She's telling me to start a mission. I did what God told me. I started a New Testament church. And guess what? I started a church that she could join. Because she won't in no church, won't go join no church, and don't even start one, start a mission. God ain't even starting no mission. She came running and joined. But watch this. Remember I told you how some things we won't put under the hand of God? There's some things she didn't put under there. She joined and she came here and flopped with her point. But here's the thing. When I had a chance to talk with her, she said, "I was tired. I would get up, and the girls, the ladies would call me, 'Where we going, Pearl, today? Pearl, today? Pearl, where we going today?'" Meaning that she was the one running them around, no church. You know, and she's the mother. But she's telling her pastor now, Sister Joan. She said, "I got tired of that." He said, "The Holy Spirit told me to join." That's what she told me. Said, "The Holy Spirit told me to join." Do you think sometimes that the Holy Spirit will put you in the right position before they take you out of here? Before they take you home? Say, she loved the Lord. She was a soul winner. Loved the Lord. Salvation Army, she's ringing the bell. And I got a chance to go in and sit beside her on her dying bed. I had a few trips with that with people. And heard some things that I care not to share. So when I'm telling you how people can go and carry this stuff, they look good. If I can free you today, male or female, why don't you let him? God's purpose in allowing trouble is to test the reality of one's faith. But the benefit of such testing is immediately for the Christian, not God. We, the believers, come through the trials still trusting God. He is assured that his faith is genuine. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.